Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. What a joyful conversation that we got to have today, and I'm so excited for y'all to hear. I got to talk with the Gilbert family, that is Trey, Logan, Molly, Deja, and Tramar. They are some of our campers and counselors from Texas that are all siblings. They have incredible bonds, and this family is so fun to be around. You'll get to hear from them about their experiences with camp, and I hope that this encourages y'all to love the people closest to you better.
Good morning, Camp Chiokers. Today we'll be bringing you a podcast by the Gilbert family.
So that's part of the Gilbert family. Today we have the Gilberts. They're from Texas, and they're six siblings, but we're blessed with five of them to come to high school camp every year. And I've just loved getting to know all of them, and now two are serving on staff. So we'll start with, what is everyone's biggest takeaway from camp, and how has that applied to your life outside of camp?
Well, I'm Logan Gilbert. I am 18 years old. I just graduated high school. I'm going to West Texas A&M for engineering. I would say my biggest takeaway from camp would be patience. Just throughout life, I've had a problem with rushing through things and wanting to get to the next one really fast. And camp has really taught me to slow down and take time to be with God instead of just putting him on the back burner.
My name is Trey Gilbert. I'm 18 years old. I will be a sophomore at Harding University. And my biggest takeaway from camp is learning to step back and realizing that it's not about me anymore. I've always wanted to do everything, especially when it comes to competition. And now that I'm a staff, it's about the kids, not me. And so that's what I've taken away.
Hello, my name is Tramar Gilbert. I'm 16 years old. And the biggest takeaway of camp that has been close to me is getting to grow closer to God with my friends, and we push each other to do good in life, and I take this back home and spread the word to God and spread the word of God and help everybody else that back at home grow closer to God too.
My name is Molly. I am almost 17. I'm gonna be a senior in high school. My biggest takeaway from camp is my self-worth, and that I don't find that in anything but God, and that he gives it to me, and to address the lies that I've told myself.
My name is Deja Gilbert, and I'm 17 years old. I'm going to be a freshman at Harding Simmons University, and my biggest takeaway of camp is the word togetherness, just because everything we do is together. Like, we're together with a bunch of people of the same faith, and we all struggle with the same thing, and we do the same thing, and that just helps me to know, like, to always stick together with people at home and to keep going with this back home.
Yes, I love all of this so much, and I've seen all of them, like, play out in my own life in their own ways, so it's cool to see those all working together. So y'all come here as a family every summer. I remember last year y'all, like, all getting here and just piling out, like, who the heck are these people? And everyone was so excited to see y'all. So what does coming to camp together mean to you guys, to be able to experience this together, and maybe, like, some of your favorite camp memories?
That's a good question.
You say whatever you want, Molly.
Popcorn, you come up with something.
I would say I'm like an introverted extrovert, and so meeting, like, when it was my first year here, it was really nerve-wracking because I didn't know anybody, and I'm not I'm not a super social butterfly, but I'd still made a lot of friends. And then the next year I came with my siblings, and I'm very family oriented, and having family with me makes me feel safe. No matter who it is, just any of the siblings, just one makes me feel comfortable, more comfortable than I would be.
I'll say at home, we always see each other at school during school events, and school is a big part of our lives, and school isn't obviously the best place to have, or isn't always the most common place for Christian faithful friends. And coming to camp, we're surrounded by people that believe the same way, struggle in the same ways, and have been through the same thing that we've been through. And I think in being in camp, being surrounded by that helps us as a family grow closer.
I would say, like Logan said, like at school we can only be so much, but like when we try to spread the word of God, when we do that, it's kind of like, you know, shut down. Like, but when we come here, we can kind of let loose. We can tell people stuff that we wouldn't normally tell people back at home.
Yeah.
And like he said, like everybody's pretty much going through the same struggles. Everybody's had tough times in their lives, just like us. We've all hit bumps, and I feel like we can just come here and be ourselves. And
And part of this might go back to your parents. How do y'all keep God in your relationship as siblings and in your relationship as a family? Because I know that can like kind of feel awkward or tricky sometimes.
Well, I feel it first starts with a good example. Our mom and dad are both great examples of what being a Christ follower looks like, and striving to wanting to be more like them every day. I feel like we all have that same want. We all want to be more like mom and dad, so I think that's where it starts.
And then, so half the siblings are adopted, right?
Yes.
Yes. So what is that like dynamic meant to y'all growing up?
Honestly, for us three that got adopted, I mean, we were kind of used to bouncing around homes and everything, but when we got to the house where I've always been living at, we like they were really welcoming, and I feel like we've always just stuck together, and no one's ever been left out, no one's ever been like shut down.
Yeah.
And we've all been picking each other up every time someone does something stupid or we get in trouble. Everybody's picking each other up and telling us like what we can do better, what we can stop doing, what to stop doing.
Okay.
And I feel like we just are a good family.
I think with us bouncing around so much, we never really had a authoritative figure that was loving.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really have a mom figure or a dad figure. We were just part of a house. And when we got adopted, it was just a lot different. My mom and dad were so loving. We called them mom and dad the first hour we saw them.
Wow.
Like, it was just, it's just stuff like that.
And how old were y'all?
I was
seven or eight. I was seven and you were eight.
I was five.
So then Molly and Logan, obviously you were still pretty young, but what was that like receiving three new siblings?
For me, I was in a house with four girls at once, so I was perfectly fine with getting two more brothers. Yes.
I was the most excited about it being permanent and forever.
Yeah.
Yes. Because our two foster sisters did go home, but I'm so excited to get more siblings.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've like heard your parents talk about this, but where does their heart and that come from? That's something y'all done? Maybe you haven't.
What was the question again?
Where does your parents like desire for adoption or like fostering or whatever it was come from?
I think
I can almost, well, my mom's mom, my grandmother, worked at a children's home when she was younger. Used to work at a children's home.
And, younger than she is now.
Yes. She used to work at a children's home, and she met a kid that was an orphan, but she couldn't adopt.
He had parents.
He had parents, but couldn't. Something wouldn't work out, and then eventually she was able to adopt him.
He was like 18, about to move out. Like, mm-hmm. He was about to move out, like, was no longer under there.
Yeah.
like rule, like they weren't his guardians anymore, and he wanted to be with them forever. Yeah. And so he kind of came to them and was like, I really want to be part of this family. So he's like, he's our uncle, not biologically, obviously, but and he doesn't have the same last name, but he's
definitely part of our family. Yeah. And through that, my mom grew really close to him, like a lot closer than most people grow close to their brother, you know. It's I'm sure that stemmed a lot of what this came from.
That's so cool. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's a lot of it is just when my mom feels called to do something, she just does it. She doesn't really second guess herself, or she just does it. And that's where a lot of it came from.
Yeah. So then what does like your family show you about God? And like, what have you learned about him through all of y'all?
I guess I've learned that when, like, my parents, they as we said, they're Christ followers and they lead by example. We learned that, or I learned that you don't have to go up to everyone and be like, here's my Bible, read this right in front of me and repent. No, it's like your example. And they taught us that you don't have to verbally, you don't really have to say, like, I'm a Christ follower. Like you just show that you're a...
Yeah, following that, our friend, like our best friends that we always hang out with, he's a youth minister. He always told us, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes the same thing. You don't really have to say much if you are acting like Christ. So.
Yeah, because I think it's so much more influential when people get to ask questions, like based on the way that we live, instead of offering up information that they aren't necessarily ready to receive. So what's y'all's favorite thing about having so many siblings and having such a big family?
My favorite thing is that, like, so, like, I go to a lot of friends' houses a lot, but when I come home, it's like I still have something to do. Like, I can still go.
You're not, like, being alone.
I hate being alone. I hate doing stuff by myself. So, like, I can still go do something with my siblings. Like, when Trey's home, I can go play basketball with them or something like that. And when they're home, I can draw or cook with them. And like, I think it's just, we just never get bored at our house.
Especially during quarantine.
That's Molly and I were talking yesterday about your whole little neighborhood community.
Yeah, we have two college friends. Our mom had two college friends. Mom and dad had two college
other couples.
And we all moved in together in the same neighborhood. I was going to finish this sentence. But we all moved into the same neighborhood.
Not and, the same house.
No.
I mean,
and we're like 100 yards away from each other.
Yeah.
And they all have kids, and we're all just one. We're often called a cult. Jokingly, obviously.
Because so the name of our neighborhood is Creepin, so we're like the Creepin compound.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What are some of y'all's like favorite ways to spend time together?
We watch a lot of movies, I'm gonna be honest. We watch a lot of movies during dinner time. After all done eating, we sit there for a long time. We like an hour or two.
Dinner table is my favorite place.
And so we just conversate and talk about our day, and we talk about random stuff actually.
Mom sometimes brings up past love stories.
That's one of the things I notice. A lot of my friends, they don't have like dinner time, they don't have it together. And my mom and dad make it like a priority. Like every day we're going to have dinner together. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a family style. And then afterwards we might watch a movie or just hang out, you know. So we always have designated family time.
Yeah. I love that, especially as we get older and like go to college. And that's the thing that we can look forward to when we get home. Because I know that was one of the hardest things about me, like moving away. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Trey, like how that's been for you, like being away from your family. For the first year, and like if the rest of y'all's dynamic has changed, or if you just like pop right back in.
Oh, that's a question.
Any comments on it, Logan? Whatever.
I don't think our dynamic changes when he gets home. I don't know about him, but I don't think it changes.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I mean, you get to a point where like you're ready to go, but like. Mm-hmm. I still look forward to coming home. I'm still excited to come home every day. Or not every day, but like every time I do come home, I'm still like really excited to see all of them and be beat up on Jamar in basketball or something like that.
Who's better at basketball?
Stop. That's not a good question.
It's not a good question. It depends on the circumstance.
Okay. It's early in the morning for that. Yeah. And then, do y'all have, like, favorite family, like, stories or things that y'all do together? Because I just love hearing you guys all talk.
One of my favorite things to do is, so every summer, actually, like not next week, but the next week after this, every summer we go hiking with our family and some friends. And I think it's really cool just to, we go to Colorado. I think it's really cool to hike up a mountain with your family and friends. And
with the people in the compound.
Yeah.
A compound.
Like we go to Colorado. We live in one house with four different families.
This is the one time we are moved
out. So, for, like, y'all having those experiences, what's the importance for you guys to have relationships with your siblings instead of just, like, friends at school?
It's just, like, it's good to have a relationship with your siblings so that you're not, like, alone. Like, earlier I said togetherness. If everyone was on their own, like, if there were six different people living in the houses and no one had relationship with anyone else, it would be hard because we would just, you know, everyone knows how being alone is. Like, it sucks. Yeah. And so you would. It's good to have, like, siblings to be close to and to tell your secrets to, you know.
Yeah, and kind of like that, like, at school, you know, our normal here is pretty weird there.
Yes.
It's not normal, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, I mean, closest friends are my siblings at school.
Yeah.
And which, I mean, that's obviously, to the world is strange, but it's perfectly fine with me. just through that, I mean, I look forward to one day when we're older and we can, we're all really close. And maybe that's not the most normal thing, but, like, all our families, we come together all the time, like we do with our family. You know, it's like millions of kids. Goodness.
But, yeah, y'all are living in our tribe.
Yeah. The thing is, I think she said togetherness, but I think unity is really good or really important, especially when it comes to a family of eight. If you didn't have that, just be. Chaotic in your house every day would never be peaceful. Or it's always pretty peaceful. The house might be loud, but it's a peaceful loud, you know.
I really like the phrase strength in numbers, because, like, there's six of us everywhere we go, and it's good for accountability, and it's encouraging for, like if I am, like, nervous about something, Trey does it first, or Logan does it first. It's just, it's an easy, it's easy to follow in their footsteps, especially when they're close and you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Do y'all ever get overwhelmed with so many siblings to keep up with?
Not in that way.
Sometimes, like, during the school year when we're all in the set and on different sports, and we're running.
We're very busy.
We're very, very busy. Yes.
I think my mom likes it.
Yeah. she loves it. Yeah.
She likes to be busy.
That's every description I've heard of your mom and dad's something very opposite. Like,
yeah. Dad's
very nice. Yes.
Dad just goes with the flow. Yeah. Whatever mom says to do, he does it.
And then, what's your advice to people that are, like, wanting to have closer relationships with their siblings that they might feel awkward?
I would say definitely a big one is don't be too quick to hold grudges.
Yeah.
I mean, as a family, you can sulk and grow apart, and it's really easy. And you can fall back to, like, friends, even if they're real friends, you can fall back to friends that aren't your family.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't help you in the long run. But I would say definitely just learning to grow closer instead of just fighting that. And when you're, like, fighting, you know, it's not like, hey, we're fighting. Okay, let's not talk to each other for 4 weeks. More like we're fighting, like,
get over it.
We get mad at each other sometimes, and it's like the next day, it's like, hey, what's up? You know?
Yeah.
It just keeps it up.
I think a lot of it is humility, because most of us play basketball. We play volleyball, and they're good at volleyball, and so like we're all very active and sports kind of family. And I think everybody wants to be the best at everything. And so humility and acknowledging, like, someone's better than you, or just that you need other people, is, I think it's a big part, and it helps grow in a lot of areas.
Yeah. So.
I think I know, like, as siblings, like, sometimes you can shoot down your sibling's idea or your sibling's thought just because they're your brother or sister. You don't really acknowledge, like, what they have to say. But it's really, and you would, I guess, do the opposite with your friends. You really, you'll accept their thoughts, even though their sibling might be the same one. You just, you're more accepting of your friends. But I think just be accepting of what they have to say, because it's not all stupid, you know? But, yeah.
Bigger sister.
Yeah. Honestly, I would just say, like, kind of like sticking together. It's just like, you get mad at each other all the time. That's, you're always going to fight your siblings. You live with each other. But, like you said, it's easier to shoot down a sibling. It's like, if they're trying to tell you some idea, than it is your friends. Just try not to, like, I would say just try not to be accepting of it. Yeah. And don't always just be that person who makes your siblings try to feel bad in front of your friends, you know?
Yeah, because we get so comfortable with that. Yeah. It's like, maybe we shouldn't be that comfortable. Like, we should still, like, respect one another. And then, because we know there will be a lot of, I don't know, not all of y'all are in high school anymore, but we're, like, kind of fresh out of high school for most of y'all. So there's going to be, like, a lot of high school campers listening that, like, miss camp and miss the relationships they have here throughout the year. So what do y'all do throughout the year to keep yourselves spiritually fed, like, away from summer? Any advice about being a Christian?
It's good to, like, so there, the people here that, the people that are here, like, campers and counselors alike, are very strong in their faith. So if you feel like you're falling away, or you feel like you just, like, got off the trail and you don't feel like you're in the right spot, if you, like, if you talk to someone here, like a text or a call or a FaceTime or Zoom or whatever,
anything,
and, like, really any form of modern communication,
that we are so blessed with.
Yes. Then you can just, it helps you be like, all right, you know, I'm not the only one. Like, just get right back in, because if you try to, like I said earlier, if you try to go it alone, it's not going to work, because it's hard. Like, you need an accountability partner, at least, to help you in your faith and to help you to keep your relationships here and stuff.
I think for me, probably Jamar too, that reading is good. I like reading your Bible, being informed on scripture is good, but I think to me, like, just surrounding yourself by likewise believers or whatever, and like-minded believers, so that, you know, like, they'll keep you accountable, they'll, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing, but, you know, just having one unified group.
Yeah. And they do exist. It just takes a lot of patience in finding those friends.
Mm-hmm. We're very involved in our youth group and stuff, and that's something that I hold on to very dearly, because
it's like a mini camp.
Like, it's like, that's like taking camp home. Like, that's the little part of camp I feel like we have. And I think with, like, a lot of fake friends out there, you know, the youth group is, like, that steady, you know, steady, like, all my real friends come from the youth group and stuff like that.
And if you're not in the youth group, like, I would encourage people to get in the youth group.
Yeah. Because they're the ones that really care about what happens to you, and they're the ones that you would call when you're in trouble. Like, I wouldn't be calling one of my school friends to, if I need help with something, I'm not going to call my school friend. Like, I'm going to text my church friend.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to be accepting.
Yeah.
At least they should be. But
yeah, that's something I've talked to a lot of campers about just this past week. It's like, I go to my youth group and I feel like it's not fully focused on Jesus. Like, the people aren't there yet. And I'm like, I want you to be the one that gets them there and, like, be the leader at youth group. Someone has to set the new standard. And then go around for all y'all in whatever order that your heart speaks to you. But what do you tell yourself every year before coming to camp together?
I'm very stubborn. I'm very stubborn. I can all tell you that. But just having an open heart, like, available to change.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate admitting that I need to change, but the fact is I do. And just being able to change where God needs me to.
Yeah.
I think it's a big part of what I go through before camp.
I think being vulnerable is probably one of the biggest things you can do at camp, just because I keep telling my campers that you're going to get out of it what you put in. If you don't put anything in it, you're not going to get anything out of it. So, just being vulnerable.
Before I come to camp, my mom always says to get something from it. So that's what I come to camp thinking, like you said, you know. But, like, I don't really know. Like, when I come to camp, I just try to learn something, and then when I learn it, I take it back home, and I apply it to my life, you know, like what my Bible teachers tell me. I'll go, like, run the race, you know, like we're talking about that, and, like, I'm not only going to just take myself to God, you know, but bring other people with me.
I think I address the things that need to be addressed, like, in my own heart. And then, mm-hmm. like you said, like, I'm not, like, super stubborn towards people, but, like, on the inside, mm-hmm. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong, especially when, like, I'm, doing so well with what I've already got, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I guess just, like, Amber McMillan, she said, like, her heart is callous, you know, to, like, to listening to what other people have to say. And, like, thinking about a new perspective. So I think softening your heart to accept those words.
Yes.
Kind of like back to what Molly said. It's like I have to assess my heart to see what I need to change and what needs to change. And to do that, I have to go back to what Trey said, and be vulnerable, which is, like, number one of my least favorite things to do. I'm married to myself. I don't like to put up my emotions out there.
Yeah.
I don't like to show that I'm weak or whatever. And so just being vulnerable and putting in what I want from camp is, like, mainly what I'm thinking about, because every year I try to be vulnerable and assess my heart and make sure everything's in the right place and try to think of everything that needs to be fixed in this week or however many weeks are in the year or whatever.
Mm.
And I just think that's what I do before I come.
Yes.
I would say, if you're not sure about what to think about before you come to camp, I would say, at least, like Jamar said, come up with something, like, I want at least one thing to take home.
Yeah.
Like, and even if you do, one thing every year, you'll be improving.
Mm-hmm. I always get nervous that, like, I'm not going to get anything, you know, if I'm, like, too stubborn or whatever, mm-hmm. but, like, it's never, like, and I know because it's such a powerful week, I'm afraid it won't be, like, as powerful to me as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, like, I kind of fear that every once in a while. And so it obviously never fails. Yeah. But I definitely say, I pray that, like, we all get something, and that it's not just, because it's so fun here, you know, mm-hmm. being with new people and making lifelong friends, that we get more out of that than just, you know, the physical sense.
And then, after we leave camp, what would you want to tell yourself a couple months from now when you haven't been with all your friends here and just haven't been having the same daily interactions? Like, what do you want to remind yourself of from the place that you are now?
It's next year. It's coming. Yeah. It'll be in the summer.
Not I really. Can go. Okay, so in one of the seminars that we listened to during this week, the guy that was there, he said, like, I struggle with, like, making decisions. Like, I don't struggle with making decisions, but, like, I'm not a decision maker. I don't want to make the big decisions. And being a senior about to have to decide where I want to go to college, I'm always afraid, like, I'm going to choose the wrong place. And, like, if I go here, I don't want to, like, choose the wrong one if I'm supposed to make an impact here and be impacted here. I'm afraid I might choose away from that. And the guy that was with us, he said, no matter what decision you make, your decisions cannot wreck the design. You're not powerful enough to wreck the design that God has for you. And I was so grateful that I'm not that powerful. And in a couple months, I'll be stressing over what about colleges and senior things. And I wanted to be able to look back and think about that.
That's so good.
I think a couple months from now, like, whether you're going through a tough time of the year or you're going through a really easy time of the year, like, remembering that the friends that you make this week aren't just this week friends. Like, they can be lifelong friends if you want them to. So just remembering that you have people to fall back on if you are going through something tough.
I like what Trey said, like just remembering that, not only like what he said about camp, but remembering that there are other people out there that are like you, that are going through the same thing and thinking the same things as you, like, oh, there's not many Christians in my school or whatever. And so I just think remembering that at camp or really anywhere in the world, there's always someone that you can fall back on or talk to or whatever.
I would say like the other day we were doing prayer night, you know, and we were at our cabin, we were all opening up and stuff. And everybody was saying, we'll always be here for you. Mm-hmm. And just that feeling of them saying that is just like, we always, like we're in a tough time at school, like she said, like, we don't know what to do. We're in that tough situation. We can always just fall back on this camp. We can always fall back on people at this camp. And
yes, that's one of my big things this year, just listening to My Cabin and, like, my girls love one another, is them encouraging each other and that, like, we'll always be here. Like, this does not have to end. And it's been so good to hear them remind each other of that instead of, like, me having to be the one that says it. But, Gilbert, I love y'all so, so much. Can I pray for us? Yeah. Jesus, thank you so much for this family, and thank you for the intentional design that you have for them. And just the friends that there are to so many here at camp. And God, we just praise you for growing them each up to love you in their own way, and that their love for you is able to complement one another. We pray over the families of all of our campers, Lord. We pray that those families would be ones that glorify you. We pray that the parents would love their children as you love us, and that the siblings would just grow in friendship. Lord, we pray over all of our campers that feel awkward around their siblings or like don't have the best of friendships. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and that you would come and just change things and draw them closer to one another. God, you designed family. You designed siblings. And there's no one who loves that more than you do. So thank you for how special it is. And thank you for the way that the Gilberts love one another and encourage one another. And I just pray a blessing over all of them, that you continue to guide, guard, bless, and protect their friendships with one another so that they could raise generations of Christ followers. Jesus, we love you so much. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka and live knowing that you are loved.